Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So my question on the last portion of the show. Preston, why believe anything these entities or beings supposedly say?
Well, that's a good question, because I do know that there are a number of cases where they do seem to be deliberately evasive. For example, one couple I interviewed who had an experience in Sedona, Arizona, were taken on board and did converse with the ETs, who didn't provide a lot of information. They're generally, pretty evasive. She asked, where are you guys from? And they said, we're from a place you don't know about yet. They asked, why are you here? And they're like, well, we're helping people as much as we can without, taking over, in so many words. Most people don't get messages. Some do. I think we have to take a lot of this at face value and just do our own judgment on whether or not these guys are telling the truth. There's a bell curve of types of experiences people have, going from pretty negative to very positive. So it's very hard to just sort of give a blanket statement that are these ETs telling the truth or not. I think in some cases we have good evidence that they are, and others no.
Evidence that they are telling the truth, how so? How can we verify what they tell us? They can say wherever they come from, and it could be totally true, but we have no way to prove it.
Right. Well, I mean, we do have evidence of UFO reality in terms of implant removals. I'm dealing with a young mother and her son who are having this whole experience. They live in the Midwest, and they went to the dentist, and there's some sort of foreign body in her son's mouth beneath the molar. I've shown this x-ray to some surgeons and doctors, and they both diagnosed it as a foreign body, clearly extraterrestrial. If someone's having these experiences and they're talking to the ETs directly, I mean, I see what you're saying, but like some healing cases, people have told, oh, you have one lady I interviewed, she was going to have a quarter of her lung removed from a tumor. And she was taken on board, and the ETs said, oh, we have a problem, and we will fix it. And that was true. They did. She went back to the doctor. They couldn't find a tumor. They were completely shocked. And she didn't want to tell them, how the tumor she believes disappeared. But she believes the ETs were telling her the truth, because she has physical evidence that it happened.
Well, from the physical evidence that something happened, we have this miraculous cure. Doesn't tell us who did it.
Well, she remembers. I mean, at some point you have to sort of just take this stuff at face value. If ETs are a completely deceptive phenomenon, they're masquerading as ETs, as some major researchers believe. I mean, then this is a much more complex phenomenon we're dealing with. I personally think the extraterrestrial theory is the one that fits best, because the reports not only of landing traces and implants, but the crash retrieval phenomena. And if that's true, which at this point is still based only on what testimony, first-hand testimony, eyewitness testimony, but if it's true we actually have this alien hardware and these craft and we're reverse engineering technology, well, then I think we know what we're dealing with here. Extraterrestrials, people like us, but from other planets.
Seems to make sense. But there also seems to be a variety of types, right? Like you mentioned the healing cases, which I think are really interesting. And they have told people, like, okay, I remember there was a case that was of a doctor I read in one of the books, and who knows, how we verify these. But quite a few of them do seem reasonable enough to, like you say, just take at face value as an experience that these people had. And they said, we'll come back in a week. You make sure you're in this location, and we will take you and fix you. And according to this doctor, that's exactly what happened. He lived out in the country. So when they came, he went out, he got in their craft, he was miraculously cured, or by their high technology or whatever the case was, and then went on to live a relatively normal life. But that's the really rare exception. They don't seem to interfere with this on a larger scale. Like Gene, I think, has mentioned it before. Well, they could probably give us whatever information we need to cure this COVID thing. But, you know, they're not. They're not coming down and helping us on any large scale. It's always these isolated, rogue, or random cases.
Yeah, I wonder about that. It's like our planet is under quarantine or something. Seriously.
Maybe the aliens haven't got a cure for COVID. You know, are they wearing masks now, too? You know?
There's something going on, because if UFOs are real, and I think the evidence shows us that they are, and that they are extraterrestrial, and I think that's the best theory, like I said, they're probably out there in large numbers. Look at the UFO reporting centers. They're receiving, what, 20 cases a day? And I know from firsthand, you know, research and experience that most people don't report their sightings. 1 in 10 would be very generous. It's probably closer to 1 in 100. So if they're getting, you know, 20 reports a day, and you times that by 10, that's 200. Could be closer to 2,000 per day. Either case, that means right at this moment, people are seeing UFOs. Right at this moment, someone's probably being taken on board. Face-to-face contact, this is an ongoing phenomenon that's in large numbers. I think, you know, when I say large numbers, I mean epidemic proportions. 1 in 40 people is what J. Allen Hynek said, have had an onboard experience. The Roper poll found 1 in 50. Either way, that's a lot of people.
Right. Well, even when Stanton Friedman was out doing his lecturing, he would say this during his interviews. He'd say, well, he'd ask how many people had seen a UFO, and quite a few hands would go up. And then he'd say, well, how many people reported it? And maybe, you know, just a small handful, a very small portion of the audience would say that they had reported it. So, but then again, that doesn't necessarily imply that there's lots of UFOs. It could be the case that, I mean, these things move very quickly from location to location. There could be just a very small number of them that just tend to get around a lot.
Yeah, but if you're talking about substantial portions of the world population, millions of people seeing UFOs. Not just hundreds of thousands or thousands, millions of people, and as you say, most don't report it, or they see it and they don't pay attention. Oh, there's some light in the sky. Let me get on with getting home or watching the news or dealing now with a pandemic where they're not looking it up at all because they're staying in their homes or they're focusing on their surroundings as much more so than having to focus on any external thing. If anything, I would think that more UFOs being present now would not be seen as a result of that. But that means we have an ever-present phenomenon impacting, again, tens of millions of people around the world. But we only hear about a few thousand cases here and there.
Yeah, it looks like it's escalating, too. I mean, according to the UFO reporting centers, their numbers of reports go up each year, pretty much. So I don't know if that's because people are more aware now or know who to call. But doesn't appear that these guys are going away. Still,
who are you going to call? UFO busters.
This is a phenomenon that is mostly evasive. That's kind of why I find the drive-in theater encounters interesting, because that's a more in-your-face type of behavior, which we do see. You know, these displays like Phoenix Lights, I think that fits under that category. It wanted to be seen. Any UFO wave where it's just in your face, Hudson Valley, Gulf Breeze, they put on these little publicity stunts every 5 or 10 years or so. I think we're overdue for one, but there has been an uptick of sightings this year. I don't know.
So people are looking out then, are they? We have Preston Dennett, written a number of UFO articles and books, including UFOs, The Drive-In, which is a subject we're exploring, the prevalence of strange things, wanting to stage a show for our benefit. Yeah, how about that? And we have to think, can we have Oscars for UFO sightings? Give them an Oscar if they do a good act. How about that? Okay, you don't really go for that. Okay. Preston Dennett, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. That means you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Oh, by the way, we should tell you that Preston Like so much being with us, actually, we kidnapped him again. He'll stick around for after the Paracast, and after the Paracast is an exclusive feature of the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus is a special subscription service where we give you a version of this show with better audio, free of the network ads, the After the Paracast podcast. And if you subscribe for 5 years or a lifetime, we give you a coupon code for a free download of The Phenomenon, the UFO documentary from James Fox, with 3 hours of added material. Check out the Paracast.plus for more. The Paracast.plus. Randall, you were looking over a lot of the cases that Preston has cited for his book, UFOs at the Drive-In. Go for it, man.
Yeah, Preston. So this is a really fun book, by the way. Looks like it's getting some pretty good reviews on Amazon as well. So I decided to pick out, just cherry pick a few sightings and that you can tell our audience about. Feel free to read right out of the book or just cover them in whatever way that you feel is most appropriate. We've still got lots of time. But the first one that I'd like you to tell us about is called the Starlight Drive-In Theater, and this is the one from Spartanburg, South Carolina. You start off by saying the earliest drive-in UFO counter on record ended up reaching very high levels of military intelligence. Perhaps by lucky coincidence, the main witness, Vernon Gwynn, was a newspaper journalist. And this happened on July 22nd, 1950. Can you tell us some more about this case?
Yeah, it's the earliest film I could find. By the way, Starlight is the most common name for drive-ins, and there are at least 3 or 4 cases in the book involving theaters of that name, and this is one of them. As you mentioned, Spartanburg, North Carolina. I think the only real reason this case generated, you know, some interest or got recorded in any way, because the main witness was Vernon Gwynn, a newspaper journalist, who was there at the theater with his wife, Betty. This is on July 22nd, 1950. And they're just watching the movie when they see this sort of weird-looking cloud drift by the theater, which didn't quite look like a cloud. And they weren't paying it much attention until it returned and made another pass at the theater. They looked at it and were like, huh, it looks like there might be something in that thing. And when it came a third time, they started paying closer attention. And on the fourth time, by this time they were out of their cars and alerting the cars next to them at this thing, which was pretty close, pretty low down. This took place over, you know, a period of 30, 40 minutes or so. And at some point came just, I think it was a couple of hundred feet over the theater. And they described it as being sort of dirigible shaped with a rounded bottom, silver, white. They weren't sure how large it was, but it looked very large and very low. And so he reports the sighting. Vernon Gwynn decides he's going to report the sighting. And his report was forwarded to Project Blue Book. And this write-up on his case was actually sent directly to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to the lead guy there, Colonel John Meads, the commanding general. So this is how I know that from the very beginning, our government was certainly interested in what was going on in these sort of instances. The entire report was titled Unconventional Aircraft. It was called, quote, the flying thing. So they didn't know what this was. They were
okay. In most of the Blue Book cases, they have some kind of a designation as to whether it was an unexplained or some sort of an aircraft or an astronomical phenomena. But in this case, there was no explanation.
This didn't get reported as a Blue Book unknown. Sort of bypassed Blue Book, as a number of these did. If it goes to the Air Technical Intelligence Command, those are the cases that sort of affect national security. And Blue Book didn't see a lot of those. Blue Book did investigate some of these cases, but not one of them made their unidentified list. One was clearly unidentified. I mean, the guy who was reporting it knew the witness. They were both military-trained observers. The Blue Book superiors said, no, we think this might be a balloon. We want you to go search for possible balloons in this area. Even though the object was in view for many minutes, it was traveling against the wind. It was far too low. There was a number of reasons it wasn't a balloon.
Although, you know, dirigible shaped, I mean, they did have Zeppelins and stuff like that in those days, you know, like, but some of them were mistaken for UFOs, you know, unless it all of a sudden went zipping off at high speed, you know, maybe it was some kind of a, you know, a powered lighter than air craft of some kind.
It's possible. They didn't hear anything. Most of these are close enough where you would hear it. This one wasn't as close as how close they typically come, which is right over the screen. Why is this thing targeting the theater over and over again? Four passes over the theater. There was one theater in Canada that was being repeatedly visited so often that the owners finally put it in their advertisement and said, "You want to see UFOs? Come to the local drive-in." No kidding.
That is really interesting. Go ahead and tell us about that case if you happen to have it handy. Give us a few more details. What city did that take place in?
There's not a whole lot of details about this one. This was in Canada. Most of these are in the U.S., right. But this one took place on Prince Edward Island in Charlottetown sometime in the late 1960s, and I don't have information on the actual sightings, only that the owners did advertise. And I can tell you that a number of theaters have been repeatedly visited. The Yuma Drive-In in Arizona was visited at least three times that I know of over a period of decades, twice in 1952, once much more recently in 1976. It's weird because usually they just pick a theater and then they pop over to another one and then another one, another city away, and sort of like a book tour or a musician on tour, they sort of hit various cities doing their little publicity campaign.
Maybe that's what some of them were, was some kind of, I mean, if we were to just take, say, a skeptical approach, there were these lighter-than-air balloons, not all of them huge, but some of them with small motors that were used as advertising balloons, basically, and, some of them had writing on the sides. Maybe maybe they just thought they'd try to do this to get out their message.
No, not a chance.
Okay. Have to ask.
For example, this case in Mentor, Ohio, a cigar-shaped object hovers over the theater for a half an hour. Finally, the owners turned off the movie because the audience was freaking out and no one was watching the movie. And as soon as this happens, this is a large cigar-shaped object hovering fairly close. They couldn't tell quite how close or how large this thing was, but they realized it was quite large because after half an hour, and after they turned off this theater, the movie screen, that's when the real show began. And this cigar-shaped object turns vertical and releases 10 discs, 10 glowing classic flying saucers, which dance around for a good 15, 20 minutes, darting around, hovering, come closer to the witnesses, darting away. And after they put on their little show, they all line up in a column like little school children and go back into the cigar-shaped craft.
We are going to dance around these announcements. Preston, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
As coronavirus cases continue to rise in many areas of the country, state and local authorities are issuing various restrictions aimed at slowing the spread of the virus. With that comes the consequences for business, particularly bars and restaurants, who've had the way they do business fundamentally changed by the pandemic. But House Minority Whip Steve Scalise says that local Democratic leaders don't seem to care that they're crushing businesses in their communities. The Louisiana Republican tells Fox News that national leadership is also making COVID relief nothing more than a political issue.
They are crushing these small businesses, the millions of jobs that are tied to it, and they just don't seem to care. Speaker Pelosi won't even bring up a bill on the House floor that would get almost unanimous support that would allow these small businesses who are struggling to get another round of PPP loans, just because, as she said the other day, she doesn't want to help them. She's waiting for a new president.
This is USA Radio News. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices at the Centers for Disease Control has added its approval to the emergency use authorization for Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine. The CDC committee voted Saturday to recommend the vaccine for use for people 16 years of age or older. Now that the COVID vaccine has received that authorization, the task of getting that shot out to millions of Americans is underway. Speaking at a Saturday press conference, Operation Warp Speed Chief Operating Officer General Gustav Perna says his group's mission still has a long way to go to be completed.
We know every day American lives are lost, more fall ill every day, more struggle with the circumstances of the pandemic. So while today we applaud everybody who's been a part of the team, part of the collaboration, part of the success that's brought us here today, we know that we are not done. We are not done until every American has access to the vaccine. To every American that wants it, receives it.
This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Yeah, well, maybe the movie wasn't that good. Maybe we should look at the movie that's being shown when UFOs appear. Maybe the movie's boring and people don't really dig it. And the Rotten Tomatoes rating for those movies isn't very high. And so the UFOs come out to do their thing.
Nope, some of these are great movies. Exorcist, King Kong, Jurassic Park, come on. The Simpsons movie, that was pretty good.
Well, and of course there's aliens in the Simpsons movie.
Right? Maybe they're studying the movie to learn about us. I hope not.
Oh, it's all sociological. I think that's what they're doing. They're studying our behavior. That's what they're doing.
Well, get this. This could be it. Some people have brought this up, and I'm like, hey, maybe you're right. ETs do seem to be very interested in human emotion.
You know, this gets to be the ultimate joke about the influence of our media. So there's this satirical movie called Galaxy Quest. And it's about a group of actors who were in a Star Trek type series. The series, of course, folded. And they don't get any more jobs. So they run around and they attempt to make money from conventions. And it turns out that this alien race picked up the signals for this TV show and misinterpreted them as historical documents and therefore created their whole society around the spaceship and the people and everything. So we think here E.T. is interested in our media, in our culture. That's the ultimate twist.
course, again, it's just a movie. But it's worth watching, by the way, if you can catch it on Netflix or whoever has Galaxy Quest now. I thought it was a fun movie. Not because I had a chance to interview Tim Allen, one of the stars, for 10 minutes one time. It is a really good movie. But let's get back to ETs and media and culture. So ET doesn't care if they're visiting us at the drive-in and whether the movie is good or not. Or maybe they only go if there are good movies.
Well, there was one case in Lubbock, Texas. The indoor theater was showing the movie The Thing from Another World, while that drive-in theater was actually being visited by a thing from another world. Outdoor theaters definitely offer something the indoor theaters will never be able to offer, but couldn't find a single, you know, movie like where the UFOs came down during Aliens or anything that was in your face about aliens or UFOs.
You know what? Interesting here. The Thing from Another World. You know who played the Thing in the original version? This is one from the 50s, not the reboot. But the original one, who played the Thing? Which actor?
Hmm.
Which very tall, like 6'5" actor played the Thing?
This is your department, Gene.
James Arness.
Who also played? Okay, see, I don't know.
He was Marshal Matt Dillon in the TV version of Gunsmoke.
Oh, really? Okay, so I remember that character to some degree.
Okay. And his brother, Peter Graves from Mission Impossible.
It's pretty interesting. They did a remake of that too. I think it was
Mission Impossible.
No, The Thing. Of course, they also Mission Impossible. That's got Tom Cruise in it now, which isn't
right,
bad. It's not bad either.
No, it grosses billions of dollars at the box office, and he does these impossible stunts. The last one, Mission Impossible Fallout, had a spy with a mustache, a British spy, look a lot like James Bond with a mustache, played by Henry Cavill, better known as Superman.
Well, okay, that's all, you know, sorry, Preston.
See, E.T. cares about this. E.T. cares about this, I'm sure.
Let's go to another one that I cherry-picked out of the list. This happened at the Oak Ridge Drive-In Theater. And you start off saying, this next account from U.S. Army Intelligence Records provides the third case of a drive-in movie UFO encounter. The incident began precisely at 6:23 p.m. on October 24th, 1950, when radar operators at the Knoxville Airport in Knoxville, Tennessee, detected several small, slow-moving targets in a restricted flying zone over Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Is this the same Oak Ridge where the Oak Ridge Lab is, Preston?
Yeah, I think so. And this is one of the cases that I wonder about the location. You know, perhaps the UFOs are attracted to the technology that's in this area. For example, the Yuma drive-in, that's very close to Yuma Air Force Base, and a few of these are adjacent to military installations, which we know is a draw for UFOs. But if you look at these cases in their entirety, it's clear that drive-ins are what we would call a UFO attractor, very much like nuclear power stations or reservoirs or, as you mentioned, water tanks, dams. All these things seem to draw UFOs. Like schoolyards. I did a book on that.
Yeah, that's a really interesting book, too. Can you give us a few more details on this Oak Ridge Drive-In Theater case?
It's an interesting case because this one does have radar confirmation, and a jet fighter was actually scrambled to vector in the target, but the pilot was not able to find these objects because apparently they left and went to the nearby drive-in theater, where one of the audience members was actually a military guy, a chief of security at the NEPA division of Oak Ridge, William Fry. And he was there with his wife and kid, and all three of them saw this object, which clearly wasn't normal because it was flashing colors, red, green, blue, orange, darting back and forth at, you know, pretty low on the horizon in a horizontal trajectory that actually alerted the projectionist, and he said that he could see it too. And there were residents in the surrounding area that saw it as well, which does happen in some cases, but no, usually these are restricted to just the audience only. Only paying members of the audience see these things in most cases. This is sort of the exception. This one is an outlier, I guess you might call it. But it was the typical sort of behavior we see. This is a display that lasted over a half an hour till finally this object, you know, did its job and darted off.
How do people behave when these sightings occur, typically? Do we see panic? Do we see people trying to leave the theater? Or do they just kind of stand there in awe? Or is there some combination of all that going on?
I would say we get both. We get some people who just react with complete awe and excitement and enjoy their experience. And others, no, there is absolutely a panic. Like in the Portland Twin drive-in in Scarborough, Maine. Mind you, this is a twin theater. This is on June 15th, 1975. And that's when things had really ramped up. I mean, they were putting on shows after theater after theater, coming very low. And this object slowly approaches the theater. It moves over a shopping center. People are looking at it and comes right for the theater. It's about 50 feet high, maybe 75 feet. Goes right to the screen, moves behind the screen, turns, comes up and hovers 15 feet over it. And at this point, panic, there was complete panic. Cars were driving off with the speakers still attached, and it cleared that theater parking lot out. And why I know, or why I suspect it's doing this on purpose, or at least showing itself, is because after it cleared out most of that parking lot, all but about 10 cars, including the main witness, this object moves over to the other screen. This is the Twin Theater again, and parks over it and clears that parking lot out.
I wonder, as I think about this, were the drivers of those cars billed for the speakers that they took with them? That would be interesting, you know, if they arrested them for stealing the speakers and they said, no, we were running away from a UFO.
Yeah, what I didn't do is contact, you know, drive-in theaters themselves. Someone's like, oh, did you call up drive-in? I'm like, no, I didn't even think of that.
Well, so, it depends whether any of them are even open anymore. UFOs at the drive-in, Preston Dennett, Gene, and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
An interesting focal point of UFO lore, UFOs showing up at the drive-in. Nowadays, of course, how many drive-ins do we even have left anymore, Preston?
More than you'd think. In the heyday, you know, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, there was thousands. I actually got a map and I charted them all out. I found a map where they were all listed. And then I charted a map of all the encounters, and it definitely fell right along that sort of spread. Now there's just a few hundred, 300, 400, 500. It's still exclusively, mostly a U.S. phenomena. I found one case in China at an outdoor theater, which was a crazy case, but mostly U.S., and there is a comeback. I still think it's going to happen because I do have a few modern cases, but not a lot. After the 70s, when they really started shutting down in large numbers, the cases, of course, dropped dramatically, moving from one every year or so to one every 5 years or even less.
What's really interesting about this for people who are, say, my age, you know, are, say, late 50s, early 60s and up, is that we remember what it was like back in those days. I mean, the cars were different. Like Gene mentioned, you'd have this sort of parking meter-sized speaker that would sit on your window at the beginning. And the cars themselves had these big, luxurious bench seats. You could sit 3 or 4 people in the front seat of one of these cars really quite comfortably. It's like sitting on a couch with lots of headroom, and it was quite luxurious compared to a lot of today's smaller compact cars.
There's no such thing as a bench seat anymore. You have sort of that in the rear. The rear is a bench seat, but usually you've got this large center hump that makes it difficult for the odd person out. In the front, it's bucket seats. And I thought bucket seats were something sporty and special on the cars I bought in the early days. Nowadays, every car has bucket seats.
Yeah, like back in those days, I mean, the thing was, is you got your girlfriend, and, you know, if you're going to the drive-in theater, she could snuggle right, you know, right up next to you on the bench seat, just like she would be on the couch at home. And it was a whole different kind of experience back in those days. No cell phones to disrupt you. There was the car radios,
like Gene, you were saying, like later they, as because people were driving off with the speakers, in some cases cutting them, they went to a radio receiving type. So you'd pull into the theater and it'd be a little transmitter where the speaker used to be or nearby, and you'd be picking up the show that way, which is a much better way to go, really. But you still had, right up until and even into the 80s, a lot of the old cars you could still do that with. So it was a very different kind of experience for people in those days.
Oh, it was very popular. It was like the number one attraction for the American family.
It depends on where you live, though. I lived in Brooklyn, New York. You didn't have the space for a drive-in. Maybe you had a few. But if you grew up in a small town, that was the culture.
They were the rage, yeah. They had playgrounds. They had petting zoos, balloon rides, pre-shows. They did everything they could to attract people, and it worked. Actually, I had to hire police at some point because people were going there to make out.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, you can imagine, though, if you can sort of envision this, if you're one of the people who are good at kind of imagining how things could go down. I mean, they had those crazy commercials, you know, during the intermission with, you know, the dancing bun taunting the hot dog and to jump on into the bun as if there's no euphemisms going on there. So you can imagine, you know, these people coming back from the concession stand with their soft drink and their hot dog and then looking up and all of a sudden realizing that there's this really strange thing going on over the screen and people are leaving the parking lot and you're wondering, oh my God, what's going on? Where's my car? I wish somebody would put this into a movie. Like it would be just really great. Somebody like Spielberg would do that.
I'm surprised it's not more well known, honestly, because of how many cases there are. I found 100, and I'm guessing there's a lot more than that, because, again, most people don't report it. But some for crazy cases. I mean,
let's move on to another. Here's the next one that I picked out for now. We'll get to more in after the Paracast as well, I'm sure. But this one is called The Universal City Drive-In Theater. This involves an Air Force captain and member of the physiology branch of the Aeromedical Lab after seeing a UFO at a drive-in theater in Universal City, Texas on May 21st, 1952. The officer felt compelled to report his sighting officially. He was put in touch with officers at Project Blue Book who prepared the report describing the captain's sighting. So tell us about this sighting.
Yeah, this is one of the sightings I mentioned, which did actually make it to Blue Book. It's an interesting sighting. It took place at around 9 to 9:30 p.m., so at least a half an hour in duration, which I think is an important detail, because that's kind of the behavior we see in these things. These are not brief sightings in most cases. And these objects were noticed to the right of the screen, and there was a large number of them, actually, 15 to 20 objects. They were observed just one at a time, and they'd dart off. These were much brighter than, you know, your average star. I think they described it about three times the brightness of Venus and moving much faster than a jet fighter. Very bright, bluish white in color, doing all these kind of incredible maneuvers, going back and forth and up and down and then darting upwards, doing kind of little S-shaped sine waves. They would disappear and reappear. A really sort of, once again, in-your-face, real dramatic sighting. And it's interesting to me that they're always appearing right next to the screen because they clearly want to be viewed. And very good visibility as well. Hard to say what these objects were.
It's not so hard to say what they're not in this case. Like, okay, the other one that sort of floated by and maybe was kind of shaped like a Zeppelin, okay, maybe somebody could say, well, maybe it was a Zeppelin, but this one, this does not sound anything like that. I mean, the dirigibles don't just go zipping around and change direction and up and down and back and forth. Some of them, okay, I could see colored lights happening, but not that kind of maneuverability, just no way.
Yeah, and this is the 1950s. Mind you, that's a pretty tame sighting compared to most of them. The 50s was what I call the pre-show. And really it was the 60s and 70s where they started like, okay, let's do the feature presentation.
And we'll have to get into some of those. One of the things I noticed about these classic sightings that you've written about here and other authors have written about is there was a lot of highly optical facets to the sightings that involved lights that were changing colors throughout the spectrum, you know, almost like in a rainbow fashion. And in some cases that seemed to mimic, say, maybe like as if they was something that was being heated. It would go from a dull to up to a bright glow and then back again. And when they are getting ready to take off, they get brighter in some cases. But we don't hear about that much anymore.
Yeah, I've always wondered about the appearance of UFOs in terms of the lights on them and the colors. Because there was some speculation that, hey, they're coming in red and leaving blue, which would sort of correspond to a light shift, you know, with the wavelength of the light itself. And there are some cases that speak towards that. But what I hear a lot is these colored lights all over these things, lit up like a Christmas tree, is a very common description and apparently fairly accurate, because people are describing purple lights, blue, green, yellow, red, orange, a full rainbow of stuff. And I finally come to the conclusion that these are not, you know, navigation lights. These are not sensing devices or anything like that. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but I think these are decorative or they're wanting to be noticed. They're used to sort of entrance people or hypnotize them perhaps. I don't know. But there's something going on here that I don't think we fully understand. These things are far too beautiful, far too colorful. I don't quite get it, what's going on here.
It's almost like a close encounters type of thing where they, you know, there's a range of colors that seem to indicate something and then can be used in a way to communicate something. Or it reminds me of what we might do with, say, some kind of wildlife that we're trying to study the behavior. You know, well, maybe it's not much different than us using a laser pointer to play with a cat. Or something, you know?
Well, yeah, because these things can come in invisible if they want. We've got many reports of them suddenly appearing or going transparent or cloaking themselves. So why would they, and if they can, you know, got, they have to have telescopes if we do.
Well, you know, we have these announcements and then we'll have more with Preston. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.